Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaska police are investigating a recent meth bust, and this summer's Tundra Golf Classic ended in a tie. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Thursday, August 8th, 2019. A former UNSC employee is facing drug charges for possessing and selling crystal meth in Unalaska. 31-year-old Angel Alonzo was arrested late last month at the Fish Plant's Galley. Interim Police Chief John Lucking says officers were there on an unrelated disturbance call when they noticed the Fresno, California man behaving strangely.
And he voluntarily allowed them to search his person, and on his person they found what ended up being 2 ounces of crystal methamphetamine or crystal meth.
Lucking says Alonzo admitted to officers that he uses and sells meth and that he was high at the time of his arrest. The drugs confiscated by police have an estimated local street value of about $12,000.
We're happy that we got it off the street because it's a significant amount. Typical dose is about a tenth of a gram, so if you looked at it at dose level, you know, you'd have 500 doses, so that's a lot of dope.
Alonzo has been charged with one felony count and one misdemeanor count of misconduct involving a controlled substance. He's currently being held at Unalaska's jail on $10,000 bail, with his next court appearance set for August 26th. Meanwhile, police are still investigating to determine whether others are involved. Lucking says they've executed search warrants on Alonzo's room and electronic communications and that subsequent charges may be forthcoming. He also says there's no indication that the meth was produced locally. In an email to KUCB, company officials said, quote, UNSC has no comment other than we do not condone illegal drug use or sales, that we have a zero drug policy, and that we very much appreciate the Unalaska Police Department's efforts in this case, and will continue to work closely with UPD, end quote. Yesterday, we reported on a new land swap deal aimed at building the King Cove Road, and today we have more on a new lawsuit filed by the Wilderness Society and other environmental groups that want to block construction as the road would go through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge. For King Cove, it's just the latest in a long series of lawsuits and other hurdles dating back decades.
We're not surprised.
Della Trumbull has long been a proponent of building a roughly 12-mile road through the refuge to connect King Cove to Cold Bay and its all-weather airport. She says the road is a matter of life and death in medical emergencies, but environmental groups have always stood in the way.
It just continues the basic concept that they don't care about the lives of the people out here. That means more important. The birds have more priority.
The lawsuit challenges a land swap agreement signed last month by the U.S. Interior Secretary David Bernhardt and the King Cove Corporation to create a privately owned road corridor. The conservation groups claim it violates environmental laws and ANILCA, the Alaska National Interest Lands and Conservation Act. The argument is similar to that of their last lawsuit, which the groups won in March. A judge agreed that the Interior Department hadn't justified its position switch from anti-road during the Obama administration to pro-road now under the Trump administration. This time, along with the new deal, Bernhardt wrote 20 pages of justification, though the lawsuit claims that's still inadequate. The Center for Biological Diversity is one of the plaintiffs in the case. Its public lands director, Randy Spivak, says she does not prioritize birds over people, but she says the residents of King Cove have other options.
What is also important is that this refuge is internationally important for birds all over the world and wildlife.
Spivak also says a road wouldn't solve all of King Cove's problems.
They're way out there in the Aleutians, very remote area with severe weather conditions. That road would not provide guaranteed safety. 365 days of the year either.
King Cove leaders say the road would be passable most of the time and is their only practical option. The new lawsuit was filed by Trustees for Alaska, a firm that represents environmental groups. Unalaska Community Broadcasting has covered local news for the past 20 years, and to mark that anniversary, KUCB is spending every Thursday of 2019 looking back at our former reporters and sharing some of their stories. This month, we're focusing on Annie Ropeek, who worked in the newsroom between 2013 and 2015. She sat down with former KUCB reporter Zoe Sobel to reflect on her time in Unalaska.
I remember seeing the Unalaska job and being like, this would be crazy. And I could not ever get it out of my mind after that. And I was it was this nervous excitement, you know, about the idea of applying for something. And I had never lived that far from home or anything like that. It just sort of took root. And by that fall, it was kind of clear that we're just going to take the leap. So
what were you expecting the station or the community to be like?
Well, I visited once before I took the job. And I was one of my parents' conditions is that I had to go and see the place in person to make sure that it was okay. And so I flew out in the month before I took the job for a weekend. It was an insane fall storm. It was one of those nights that it's blowing sideways. And, the plane got in. I think we did get stuck in Cold Bay or Sand Point for a few hours. I don't have any cell service. I don't know what's happening. I've never been on a propeller plane in my life, And when I finally got in, Robbie came and picked me up at the airport because he was on the board at that time. He was like, no one expected you to make it in. And I was like, what does that mean? That's not a thing that people say. So they drove me to Burma Road and everyone was doing the candidates forum. It was a whirlwind. But I remember when I was flying away, I remember thinking it would be weird if I never went back. I felt I had formed an attachment to it.
What were your favorite stories?
Friendship Cup. That would be one of my favorites. That was literally my roommate was Carlos Tayag. He found that trophy in a storage closet at the community center and was telling me about it. I was like, that sounds interesting. We should figure out where it came from. And we did a sort of detective work saga and it spawned Friendship Cup. And I did that story for only a game. And that was just a completely random feature that ended up touching on so many aspects of how Unalaska's culture works, about the fishing industry and the connections to Russia, and the connections to the global economy and the way the workforce works there and all these international folks and sort of the stuff you do to pass the time on an Aleutian Island also. And that was a lot of fun. So those were good stories, when you could stumble on one of those that you could just have fun with, because there were no limits on what kinds of stories you could do. If you could find the time to do it, you could do any story you wanted to. And that was great because you never get that in a normal newsroom. So that was a lot of fun.
Any other favorite memories?
Well, when I first got there, the day I arrived to start my job was when the Arctic Hunter ran aground. That was 2013. It had run aground the night before. And so within hours of me arriving, Lauren Rosenthal led me and Annie No on an expedition out to try to go see it. We were trying to get to Morris Cove, first driving and then on foot. And we found that we not only could not do that, but also that even if we had gotten to Morris Cove, we couldn't have seen it because it wasn't at Morris Cove, I think, or something like that. But that was my first experience with grapple. And I also have a bad leg. And so I'm trekking through the tundra, breaking my ankle, not actually, but I was what is going to happen to me? Oh my God, I'm in this crazy place. It was a little bit of a hazing ritual, I think, which is totally fine. And I got back and my face was all puffy from the grapple. And I was like, are these hives? What is happening to me in this place? And she was like, oh, that's just the grapple. But, when I talk about how it was being thrown into the deep end of life, journalism and America, that's what Unalaska is. Arriving there and just being good luck with this, whatever all this is, and you just have to make it work.
And you were quite the local musician, right?
Yeah, that was something I did not expect when I went there. I'd always sung a cappella in college because of course I did. It was a lot of fun to play music there. We did the little Tiny Desk concert. It's definitely something that was a real highlight of my time, not as a reporter in Unalaska, that I would love to find again because there are so many cool people there. Everyone's so talented and you don't have anything better to do, especially because the internet was not as good back then as it apparently is now. I can't believe you guys have data. It just is You say that actually, but it doesn't sound like you actually have it all the time. Unreliable.
Data, in quotes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, that's how I felt about like the internet in general there. And that was a big adjustment because I'm like an internet person. And so I remember like the first couple of weeks were a major culture shock. I was just trying to be like, okay, you cannot load this many things at once. You can't download stuff. Slow it down. Log off. But that was nice because it encouraged me to do more activities that were like more, you know, constructive for me as a person than just sitting on the internet all day. Although I did miss a lot of, you know, important One Direction content while I was there, but I managed to keep up. And I did fly to Ireland at one point while I was in Unalaska to see them. So that's who I am. And it was, I mean, like, in all seriousness, it was cool that I was able to continue to, like, be my, like, mainland self while living there. I think I just, like, it taught me a lot about how to live and, like, sort of how to be like an optimized version of the person that I was as like a recent college grad. And like, I definitely felt like I came out of there having gained a lot of like self-sufficiency and life skills and like knowing what I valued, you know, and like how to like prioritize dumb stuff that you like and like make it work even when you're in a tough place. Yeah, definitely very formative in that way.
And do you keep up with what's happening in Unalaska even after you've left?
I definitely keep up with what goes on in the state. As far as like local news, it's mostly the Facebook, which is an excellent Facebook page. And I love seeing like everyone in town that I know commenting, you know, just people are so engaged and it's just like really, I don't know. It's just fun to watch as an outsider now, like how much people really value KUCB because it's very like validating to know that helped contribute to that and that it's still going strong and that a community like that can sustain a really robust little public media shop is, you know, just encouraging.
That was Annie Ropeek, the 8th reporter in the history of Unalaska Community Broadcasting. Join us each Thursday for the rest of the month when we'll be re-airing some of her stories as part of our year-long series celebrating the 20th anniversary of KUCB's newsroom. You can also check out Ropeek's current work at New Hampshire Public Radio, where she reports on energy and the environment. Looking ahead to this weekend, Unalaskans can expect tourists as the island continues its record-setting cruise ship season. The vessel Azamara Quest is scheduled to bring almost 700 passengers to port on Saturday from 8 o'clock in the morning until 5 in the evening. Also happening Saturday is Unalaska's Half Marathon. This year's Bobby Johnson Summer Bay Classic will take runners and bikers over Overland Drive and around Summer Bay Lake before they reach the finish line at Front Beach. Racers must check in at the community center at 1:30 in the afternoon. The classic will kick off at 2 o'clock for runners and 3 for bikers. And in other sporting news, the 2019 Tundra Golf Classic ended in a tie last weekend. Both the North Pacific Fuel and Coast Guard MSD teams finished the tournament with scores of 58, claiming a shared championship and split ownership of the golf ball trophy. In contests beyond the 18-hole course, Matt Leitner won the accuracy contest by putting his first shot within 3 feet and 11 inches of hole number 1, and the Team Spirit Award went to the Inseparables and the Margaritas in another tie. 50 people braved the blustery weather to play Tundra Golf, which raised more than $12,000 for Unalaska Community Broadcasting. The fundraiser earnings will go towards TV and radio operations here at your local public media station. So from all of us at KUCB, thank you for your support and thank you so much for a great weekend of Tundra Golf. You can check out photos from the tournament at our Facebook page. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.